Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the that's incredible category, we might want to place these results from a recent survey conducted by the Barnard Report, a group which regularly surveys Christians on different topics. The question asked was, can a good person earn their way to heaven? You'll be amazed and shocked at the result, I hope. In answering this, 52% of all denominations, people in all denominations, said yes, a good person can earn their way to heaven. 52%. Broken down denominationally, it breaks down this way. Pentecostals, 46%. Mainline Protestants, category in which our church body falls, 44%. Evangelical churches, 43%, and Roman Catholics, 70%. But I suppose we shouldn't be surprised at those results when the same survey found that at least a third of senior pastors believe by simply being a good person, one can earn a place in heaven. Here are a few other interesting statistics, at least I thought they were. But maybe not so shocking, considering our times. As a whole, 58% of Americans believe there is no absolute moral truth. Are we shocked by that? 77% believe right and wrong is determined by factors other than the Bible. In other words, the culture can determine if something is true or not, or right or not, even if the Bible says it's wrong. 59% of Americans say that the Bible is not the authoritative and true word of God. Of course, you know, if that's Americans in general, that's not so shocking. But what's interesting is that Americans do believe that, in general, faith is important. But it just doesn't matter what that faith is. 63% agree that having some type of religious faith is more important than what the faith may be. And among self-described Christians, 68% believe that the content or the object of the faith doesn't matter. In other words, faith in something other than Jesus can get you to heaven. That question about how we receive salvation and eternal life is appropriate for this morning as we observe Reformation Sunday. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted 95 statements for debate on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. These 95 theses began with these words: out of love and zeal for clarifying the truth, these items below will be debated at Wittenberg. The main question for Luther was, how are we saved? Is it by works? Is it by works plus faith? Or is it by faith alone? I find it rather amazing that 506 years later, and it's still clear that the Christian church isn't united on the answer. But this truth is... The question is this truth determined by the fact that the church is united on the issue? Of course not. There are four great truths that came out of the German Reformation, and we actually have them displayed in our sanctuary today. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and this is found in Scripture alone, which tells us that salvation is found in Christ alone. Our text is that epistle lesson read earlier. I'd like to read this portion of it again. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, to be received by faith. then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded by what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but those verses contain all four of the solas: the law and the prophets, Scripture, bear witness to the righteousness of God through faith, faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ, and we are justified by his grace as a gift. Jesus Christ alone and grace alone. Pastor Whitfield McMillan shares this little story. He said a mother was tucking little Bobby into bed and was waiting to hear his prayers. But Bobby had been rather naughty that day, and it bothered him as he thought about praying. So he said, "Mom, I wish you'd go now and leave me alone. I want to pray by myself." And sensing something was wrong, she asked Bobby, "Is there anything you want to tell me?" And he replied, "No, Mommy. You would just scold me. If I tell God, he will forgive me and then forget it." That little story illustrates what grace alone is all about. Little Bobby had confidence in something that we struggle to believe. He trusted and believed God's promise of an unconditional love, which is not earned or merited. God loves, forgives, and forgets. And we don't have to do anything to earn that love. It's a free gift. That's what the word grace means. That truth is hard for us because it just doesn't make sense. Nothing in this world is free. You get what you pay for, sometimes. You get what you work for. There's no such thing as a free lunch. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat, Paul says. Those are the rules, and we know that we have to abide by them this side of heaven. In fact, these rules are so set in stone that every other system of religion also abides by them. A few years ago, in an article in the Grand Rapids Press was titled, "Conversion to Hindu Faith is Torturous," and it said this: "A West German businessman has completed his conversion to the Hindu faith by piercing himself through the cheeks with a 1/4-inch thick, 4-foot-long steel rod and pulling a chariot for 2 miles by ropes attached to his back and chest by steel hooks. Others walk through 20-foot-long pits of fire, don shoes with soles made of nails, or hang in the ear spread eagle from hooks embedded in their back." Practices like this follow the pattern of the world, and they make some logical sense. We failed in some way and are not right with God. Therefore, we must do something to make it right. I mean, that's the way things work. But that's not Christianity. It's true that in this world we must work and toil and slave away because there's no such thing as a free lunch. But this is not what God had intended for us. We read in Genesis, after Adam and Eve sinned, to Adam, God said, "Because you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." A teacher once asked his pupils, "Do you have anything, that you did not receive from God?" One student said yes. So the teacher asked him, "Well, what do you have that God didn't give you?" And his answer was short and to the point and very theological. He simply said, "Sin." That one word answer summarizes why there's no free lunch. It's because of sin that we must work and toil and sweat for everything we get. And that's what makes what Paul says in our text so hard to grasp. But now a righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Paul is saying that because Jesus has come into our world, the rules have changed. Well, that's not literally true in this sense. He hasn't really changed the rules. Rather, he's revealed what the real rules were meant to be in the first place. Paul says that what God has done in Christ shows us what was meant for us from the beginning. A righteousness, a perfection was ours because it was given by God himself. It wasn't anything we were expected to earn. It was a perfect relationship which God had with Adam and Eve from the very beginning. We lost that perfect relationship which God had given. And we show that we've inherited that broken relationship when we have sinful thoughts, do sinful acts, speak sinful words. But God's desire is that we have that relationship with him once more. And he knows that there is no way that we can do it on our own. And that's why he says that a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known. That little word, apart, is so important. Paul is saying that the perfection God has given is completely separate from, without relation to, without connection with, independent of, not even the least bit related to, any works of the law, any works, period, on our part. In the movie The Last Emperor, has anybody ever seen that movie? It goes back to 1987. That's a creepy movie. I'm sorry. It really is. But in that movie, the young child who was anointed to be the last emperor of China lives this kind of magical life with 1,000 eunuchs at his command. And one time his brother asked, "What happens when you do wrong?" And he answers, "When I do wrong, someone else is punished." And the boy emperor demonstrates this as he breaks a jar and one of his servants gets beaten. See, Jesus has reversed that ancient practice. When the servant sinned, the king was punished. Grace is free only because the giver himself has borne the cost. Grace is free for us, but it comes at a terrible price. It costs the life of God's own son. But God's promise is that as we place our trust in his word, which says Jesus did this to pay for all of our sins, we have that gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. And there's nothing we can do to deserve it or earn it. In the beginning, our perfection was God's gift to us. And now, through Christ, he gives us perfection once more. That's grace. By definition, grace is completely free. Now, if you're ever called on by some pollster to ask if it's possible for a good person to earn their way to heaven, I hope now that you can answer boldly and emphatically, no. That's the Christian way. That's the Jesus way. That's what God gives to us, to confess and believe and to trust. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. God's free gift is his amazing grace, which is ours by faith. That faith trusts in Jesus alone. That Jesus is our Savior from sin. But whether or not we are polled, may we ever place our trust and confidence in what Jesus has done for us. Because it is by his amazing grace that we are saved for all of eternity. And that's our hope in all things. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the hymn.